Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Two things we learned from the president yesterday. The attempted terrorist attack on Christmas was a failure of understanding, and he will not turn the country into a fortress.
We will not succumb to a siege mentality that sacrifices the open society and liberties and values that we cherish as Americans. Because great and proud nations don't hunker down and hide behind walls of suspicion and mistrust.
The problem can be fixed, the president says, with better data collection and better analysis. But will that make Americans feel safer in the air? People might feel more secure inside a fortress. Fighting the impulse to build a barricade on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, January 8th, and the takeaway for me here is it doesn't really matter what the president says. If people are going to feel afraid, they'll feel afraid, rational or irrational.
I think it's fair to say that the president feels the sting of the Christmas crisis there yesterday, that's for sure. Let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. President Obama has ordered improvements in security following that failed Christmas Day terror attack, but he stopped short of pointing fingers.
I am less interested in passing out blame than I am in learning from and correcting these mistakes to make us safer. For ultimately, the buck stops with me.
Speaking after the president, top counterterrorism advisor John Brennan said he also took responsibility for the failure.
I told him that I will do better, and we will do better as a team.
Brennan also explained what the review of the incident showed about Al-Qaeda's plans.
So we had a strategic sense of sort of where they were going, but we didn't know they had progressed to the point of actually launching individuals here.
Meanwhile, the Nigerian man charged in the terror attack will make his first court appearance today. Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab is facing six charges, including the attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction aboard the Northwest Airlines flight to Detroit. Todd Zwillick joins us now. Todd, you were at the press conference and listened to the president speaking yesterday, but we didn't get any specific new policies outlined during this. So what was the purpose of the president's speech?
Well, I think, you know, throughout this entire thing, right after this Christmas Day attack happened, of course, as you know, Celeste, the White House was accused of being on its heels, and Janet Napolitano will probably go down for her entire career as having said the system worked after this. Well, ever since then, the White House has made pains to show that, no, the system didn't work, and the president, almost every day on the latter part of his vacation and since he's been back, has been taking actions and speeches and appearing before cameras to show, no, the system didn't work. I think it also, you just played the clip, John just played the clip. It gave the president the chance to say that most presidential of phrases. Goes back to Harry Truman, the buck stops with me. I think it was important for him to tell the country that he is very much on top of this and the report has come in. He's ordered changes.
Okay, and he said that many times. Is that kind of his way of cutting through red tape?
Well, he certainly snapped the heads back of a lot of people in his administration. John Brennan, the special advisor on Homeland Security and counterterrorism, didn't just take responsibility for it. He said to the press, I told the president that I let him down. So he seems to have opened a lot of eyes.
All right, Todd, stay with us. We'll go back to you in just a moment. In entertainment news, NBC says they probably will not cancel the Jay Leno show, but they're considering a scheduling shakeup that would move Leno out of primetime and back into late night. Still, the comedy star couldn't resist a dig at NBC on his show last night.
If we did get canceled, give us time to maybe do some traveling.
That would be wonderful.
In fact, I understand Fox is beautiful this time of year.
It really is.
NBC says Leno's primetime slot has caused a ratings drop at network affiliates.
In Afghanistan, NATO says a U.S. service member has been killed by a roadside bomb in the east of the country. In Pakistan, at least six people have been killed in an explosion at a house in Karachi. Back at home in St. Louis, police say all four people who died when a worker opened fire at a power plant yesterday were men. They were allegedly involved in a suit against an electrical company. That was the site of the shooting. And gay rights advocates are vowing to fight back after New Jersey's Senate voted down a bill to legalize same-sex marriage. Also want to remind you, unemployment rate comes out later this morning. Asian markets ended up slightly. The Dow gets underway at 10,606, 1141. That's the S&P, and the NASDAQ opens at 2,300.
We're talking about teen movies later this hour, and all day we're talking about the president's crusade to streamline intel sharing. Let us know if you think racial profiling works at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Well, the buck stops with President Obama. He took responsibility for any intelligence failures that led up to the attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day during his speech yesterday. But he also ordered intelligence agencies to streamline how these threats are analyzed.
The U.S. government had the information scattered throughout the system to potentially uncover this plot and disrupt the attack. Rather than a failure to collect or share intelligence, this was a failure to connect and understand the intelligence that we already had.
Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick back with us. You were at the White House yesterday. And Todd, a lot of people said prior to yesterday's speech that this was a failure of sharing information, of communication. Sounds like the president saying that's not what the problem was. He says the information was there and it was shared, but it was not properly analyzed and then applied. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right, Celeste. And the president and his deputies stressed that this was not like the failure that led to 9/11. You know, right after 9/11, when all of the analysis in the 9/11 commission was done, you had this Washington phrase called stovepiping. And stovepiping just means all of the information is in silos and it doesn't cross between them. Information's not shared. They said this was really not like that. Information was shared. The different intelligence agencies had access to all the information that the other ones did, but it wasn't prioritized. They didn't know what was the most important. Things got buried and they weren't able to follow the leads that were the most important to say, hey, this guy has gone from Nigeria to a place where we know an Al-Qaeda cell is operating. He is getting ready to travel.
So wait a minute. So from silos to manure pile, it sounds like you're saying there.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if that's positive.
I mean, that is a classic Hockenberryan phrase, but John, I think it's accurate. I think you hit it on the head. I would maybe quibble with your metaphor, but I think it's right.
You won't be the only one.
We often quibble with his metaphor. Okay, thanks so much, Todd. Let's get some deeper analysis on this by Emil Nakhle. He's a former senior intelligence officer with the CIA and author of the book A Necessary Engagement. He retired in 2006. Good morning, Emil.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You heard the president's speech yesterday. You just heard us talking with Todd Zwillick about how the White House feels this was not the same problem that led to 9/11. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I do. In fact, there are two questions here. One is that unlike 9/11, now we have a huge intelligence bureaucracy that was created after 9/11, and that, two, we did not have the expertise to analyze all the available intelligence. So I do agree with the president on that.
So you're saying that we actually, in trying to fix the problem of 9/11, which was that we were not sharing information between agencies, we then created this new bureaucracy to help us share information, but that caused the problem that led to the attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day.
Yes, partly. So the other part, as I said, is that deep expertise that we need to have in order to analyze that information after we have shared it. I think... I would like to make another point before we start into this, and that is, I think we should always remember that there have been a lot of successes that have not been made public, but unfortunately, one screw-up, as the president said, creates a tremendous havoc, and rightly so. But I think we should put it in perspective, but the expertise bothers me a lot, the lack of it, that is, bothers me a lot in this case.
Well, it appears to bother the president too, Emil Nakhle. Let's kind of get down in the nitty gritty on what we read in the report yesterday. It sounds like there were three specific areas where the intelligence broke down. The first, let's talk about, is this failure to connect these dots.
Yeah.
What exactly happened? What caused that failure?
Well, the dots, the so-called dots. I really kind of don't like even the whole discussion focusing on the dots, but these pieces of intelligence that came to the agency and to other agencies about this fellow. Now, Omar Farouk al-Muttalib is a Nigerian kid, a rich kid, whose father went to the embassy and talked about his concerns about his son's radicalization. Now, this is what we call in intelligence a walk-in, that somebody walks in. And we oftentimes receive these walk-ins with all kinds of information. Well, in this case, this was a special walk-in. It wasn't just a normal guy. He was a rich person, very well distinguished person, told us about his son. We should have taken note of that. Secondly, we had heard, of course, and there was intelligence that Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula was planning an attack against the United States using somebody, a Nigerian. Again, that's another piece of information. A third piece of information that this person was going to plan an attack against the homeland, not against an embassy or a U.S. personnel overseas. And that's another piece of information. Okay. So by not connecting all of these together, we failed to keep that kid from getting on the plane in the first place. And that is where the serious failure occurs.
Okay, but the thing that seems to concern you the most, having looked at this report, is as you said, the analysis of it.
Yes.
In what way did the analysis not work for us? In other words, you just laid out some very specific information
right.
that wasn't used properly. Where did the analysis fall down?
The analysis fell down in at least two areas. One, that we had underestimated Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula's not only intent, but operational capability. We had all kinds of intelligence showing or telling us that Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula was active and was not only active in planning and collecting information, but also in operational capability. We had ignored that. That's a very serious area of failure. The second is that the person himself that we had heard that a Nigerian was going to be used, and we kind of did not connect the Nigerian with this name. Unfortunately, a misspelling even in the name occurred. So because it was spelled in different ways, that name did not make it to the screen.
It's the little things, I guess. Okay, so I guess in the future, getting better analysis, that seems to be a more difficult problem than fixing misspellings, though. Emil Nachlé is the former senior intelligence officer with the CIA. He was there until 2006. He's also author of the book, A Necessary Engagement. He joined us from his home in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thanks so much. It is 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in now on the top stories.
Well, the devil is in those details regarding the Obama news conference yesterday. The president said there was no guaranteed solution to the threat posed by Al-Qaeda, but he said the U.S. must stay one step ahead. And unusually for the president, he used the word war in talking about the Al-Qaeda threat. The Nigerian man charged with attempting to blow up that U.S. jet on Christmas Day will appear in court today. He faces six charges at this point. And police have confirmed four men died when a factory worker in St. Louis opened fire on his co-workers yesterday. The gunman, who later shot himself, has been identified as 51-year-old Timothy Hendren. An investigation is underway. Local police chief Daniel Isom has praised the response of emergency staff.
We really work well to get the building cleared, get the victims out who were injured, and to secure the area. And we really believe that the initial response of the officers probably ensured that there weren't more victims who were hurt.
NATO officials say a U.S. service member was killed in a roadside bomb in East Afghanistan yesterday, and the Chinese government say they became the world's largest exporter last year. That claim has not been confirmed. Coming up, who had a good week and who had a bad week?
Hey Jude, don't make it bad.
New series starts today with a little news on how the Beatles made things a little better for people stranded in New Jersey. We're going to talk about that more in a few minutes.
Remember to let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.